tonight on Ask Dr. Josh. We're talking about how to handle and overcome romantic rejection. Now, have you ever broken up with someone only to discover that just a few weeks or maybe even a few days later, they seem to have moved on with indecent haste while you're still nursing a broken heart and feeling utterly rejected? Why is it that some people seem to spring back from a breakup very, very easily, whereas for others, me included, it feels like they've been completely abandoned? And is it possible to train yourself out of a broken heart? I don't know the answers to these questions, but one man who well may do is clinical psychologist and behavioural scientist, Dr. Josh Claypo, who I'm delighted to say joins me on the line now. Hello, sir.
Hello, Sarah King. How are you?
I am fantastic. All the better for hearing from you. So here we go. We're talking rejection. And I put my hand up as somebody who does not take rejection well. I have a deep-rooted sense of abandonment. I'm unfortunately that kind of person who, after one date, I've already imagined the marriage, the ceremony, the wedding, how many kids we're going to have. And when I don't get the call the next day, I'm basically eating ice cream in my pajamas for 2 weeks. What's wrong with me?
Well, first of all, not much, actually, because I would tell you this. The people who – we can learn to bounce back from rejection, and I'll tell you how in a minute. But the people who just automatically bounce back from a heartache, no problem, it's all good, they move on in 2 seconds, 99% of those people are full of it.
Okay.
They're full of it. Rejection is one of the most primal, deep-seated, hurtful feelings we can have. And so when you say, oh, I'm good, it's all good, it's fine, no big deal, 24 hours later, you're probably not telling the truth.
So it's fair to say then, and it seems to me that in every breakup I've ever had, it seems to me that the guys have sort of, I call it the T-shirt and the tan syndrome. And it seems to me that after every breakup I had, not a week goes by that suddenly they've got a brand new outfit. They mm-hmm. look like they've been on holiday. They've got a tan. So I call it the T-shirt and the tan. They've disappeared off. They've come back. They've come back and they're just living life. Whereas, as I say, I'm, you know, crying in a heap in the corner, sobbing myself inconsolable. And I've put on about 20 pounds because I've eaten so much. Am I wired differently? I mean, you're saying that they're full of it, but it really, I mean, it impacts me so deeply. Is there something fundamentally wrong with, or am I just somebody that has abandonment and attachment issues, which I think is quite probable?
No. Okay, so let's say this. Let's do this. First of all, if the guys who have been broken up with don't feel rejected, then they may go on and get a T-shirt and a tan. So the issue really is, have you, you know, if they're moving on and it wasn't that deep and it wasn't that connected for them, then they just don't feel rejected. And if you don't feel rejected at all, then you may be able to move on. But let's get to you. Ice cream is totally okay. I don't like it for 2 weeks. One of the things that happens with rejection, because it's such a, I say primal, the reason it's primal is humans are social beings. We survive when we're connected to people. So when we're rejected, it's like the ultimate social outcast experience, and it strikes our hearts very deep. That's why it hurts, and that's why it hurts so bad. And what we tend to do is we tend to go through some kind of automatic thinking that makes the situation worse and worse and worse. And so you have to train yourself, when you are rejected, how to move forward in a healthier way. And there's some simple things that you can do to make sure that you don't drown yourself in that ice cream.
Okay. Before we get to those tips, is it possible that some people, me, set themselves up for heartache or disappointment by becoming attached too soon?
Yes. Yes. And to your point, specific to you, children who have insecure attachment, adults who as children have been, abandoned and have insecure attachment, tend to be much more sensitive. And here I would say, tend to be much more sensitive to rejection. It doesn't mean that they can't live a healthy life, but if you were abandoned as a child, if you were abused as a child, if you were betrayed in some other way, you tend to be a lot thinner skin when it comes to rejection issues.
Which is why I say when I've had breakups, I've had breakups where I've been in a long-term relationship with somebody and then we've broken up as things happen. But I've also had a situation where, you know, I've maybe been on a couple of dates or whatever, but to then be rejected, to not get the phone call or to be told, well, it's not really working out for me. That hits me like a, you know, like a nine iron in a way that I feel that it doesn't hit friends of mine in that same way. And I put that down to, you know, childhood abandonment and all the rest of it.
It is, but it's also in what you're doing with it. So here's the problem. So, yes, you're probably at more risk, or you're at more risk for having a more intense reaction. But you're also probably doing what most folks do, which is, number one, when we get rejected, we tend to attribute the rejection reasons to ourselves instantly. We look within instantly. We say, I wasn't nice enough, I wasn't kind enough, I wasn't pretty enough, I wasn't the right person. We turn everything inward, when the reality is, it's not always that way. But that's our initial go-to. So the number one thing you want to do is literally tell yourself, stop. Stop blaming yourself for all of it. You have to be blamed for some of it, but not all of it. Because once you start blaming yourself for all of it, that's when you start to spiral. That's when the ice cream comes out. Does that make sense? You don't want to blame yourself for all of it.
Yeah.
You want to look for what really did happen, or at least what could have happened. And it cannot involve only you if you're being rejected by another person. They played in it as well.
That is, where were you during all these terrible breakups? Because that's what I needed to hear. Because I am somebody who turns it inward, you know, and then I will replay, what could I have done? Who could I have been other than myself that would have made this person stay? And I will beat myself over the head with that for, you know, years. Another question. Sorry, Josh, go on.
I was just going to say, and you just put yourself in an impossible loop to get out of.
Yeah.
How could I have been a different person? You couldn't. You're who.
Yeah. No, exactly.
All right, go ahead.
If you are just joining us at 9 minutes to midnight, we are joined on the line by clinical psychologist and behavioural scientist, Dr. Josh Capo. And if you haven't been with us before, then you'll be delighted to know, or even if you have, you'll be delighted to know that Dr. Josh has agreed to be with us on a weekly basis at this time every week to talk relationships and brain health and all that kind of, all the stuff that we often don't want to talk about. But this is a safe space that we are creating for you to come and share if you would like to talk about something, maybe a problem that's been going on for you or your family or relationship dynamics, all of that sort of stuff. This is the place and the space to share that stuff. And tonight we're talking specifically about how to handle and overcome romantic rejection. So if you have a question, do get in touch with us, please. 021-446-0567. You can drop me an SMS to 31567. The WhatsApp line is 072-567-1567. And of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, where we are at Cape Talk and at This Is SJ King, and also at Dr. Josh K. Sue has messaged in from Athlone and says, does your childhood play a role in how soon or not you get over a breakup? Nice question, Sue. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's really two things. It's two aspects. As we talked about just a minute ago, if we were abandoned as a child, if we have attachment issues as a child with our parents, if we were abused by our parents or anybody, we tend to have what are called insecure attachments. It can affect the intensity of the rejection experience. So we tend to be, I hate to use this word, but we tend to be thinner skin. We were more sensitive to rejection. And depending on how well we resolve those childhood issues, and when I say resolved, I don't mean forgotten, but sort of maybe gone through therapy, have adapted, it tends to prolong the rejection period. We feel bad longer than, if you will, somebody that has not happened to.
Okay.
But,
mm-hmm.
If you use these strategies that I'm talking about, it will hasten the bounce back period. Everybody needs time to bounce back. But again, if you get yourself in this bad loop, it's harder to bounce back. So as I said, number one, do not attribute it to yourself only. You can be partially blamed, but you're never 100% to blame, and you have to tell yourself that. The second thing, this is a little hard, although I wish I was there for you, get feedback. Talk to your friends. Talk to somebody other than yourself. Because when we're rejected, we tend to spiral in our heads. And I don't care who you talk to, let your friends tell you and give you a little bit of reality check. Because, again, what that helps you do is not bring it all in. That's the second thing that's really important to you.
Okay. Do you think that unrealistic expectations often add to the sense of rejection or abandonment when something doesn't work out? So essentially we end up sort of catastrophizing.
Oh, absolutely. So the problem with romantic experiences is once we feel ourselves falling romantically, our expectations almost by definition become unrealistic. That is the magic that is love and lust and intimacy. So as soon as we start falling for a person, our creative mind starts going off in a direction that probably is not realistic, and we don't want it to be. Because if we were realistic, then we would probably tell ourselves things like, there's a good chance this is probably not going to work out. There's a good chance that even if I am, if it does work out and we get married, we'll be divorced. I mean, if you follow the statistics, then it ruins the whole love experience. So having unrealistic expectations is part of it. If you take that to the extreme, in other words, after two dates or three dates, this is the person of my dreams, we will be together forever, no matter what happens, I know it will never end. You know, I know, always, never, forever, for sure. All those words are words that we want to use that are unrealistic. That can play into the rejection being more difficult.
Okay. What other tips would you give if somebody's listening in now and they're in that really dark space? And I get it. You know, I think we've all really, if we're honest with ourselves, we've all been there kind of feeling a bit sorry for yourself and wondering what you've done wrong. What tips can you give, a couple of extra tips to give to kind of just turn that mindset around? Mm-hmm. We've already said it's about not taking everything on and thinking that it's all about you.
That's right. And even if you think it is, you tell yourself, it is not all about me. The second thing is, go talk to people. Learn from the situation. Go speak to a friend or somebody and ask them, give me some perspective on this. The third thing is, when we feel that we're rejected, we feel as if it's only us, and we tend to overthink it, just like the way you said you did. You have to try and let it go. What I mean by that is, just quickly remind yourself, I'm in a bad place, but this bad place happens to lots of people all the time. As much as you may not want to believe it, if you tell yourself that, it puts a little bit of perspective on it. And what helps with that is sharing your feelings. Go find a friend and pour it all out, because the more you hold it in, the more you're going to cycle and cycle and cycle. And then one of the most important things to do is, after you've had your week, I'll give you a week of eating ice cream, it is important to get back out there, because what you don't want to do is develop basically a phobia of rejection. You don't want to start avoiding social interactions for fear that you'll be rejected, because the reality is we all get rejected, we all feel bad, and we can all bounce back.
I think that is such a crucial point, and not just focusing on the romantic side of it. If you are somebody who perhaps is socially anxious or has these sort of fears, it can become very overwhelming to the point where you do avoid social situations because you're terrified of how you might appear, and therefore you're terrified of being rejected, and it can turn into this self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes. We're talking about romantic rejections right now, but you can insert everything that I've just said and everything we've discussed, insert fear of being fired.
Therefore, you're terrified of being rejected, and it can turn into this this self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes. We're talking about romantic rejections right now, but you can insert everything that I've just said and everything we've discussed, insert fear of being fired from a job, or maybe you were fired from a job, fear of a friend rejecting you, a platonic friend in an argument, fear of your parents rejecting you or your children rejecting. So rejection is not unique to romantic love, and everything that we've just discussed applies to any situation where rejection is possible.
Yeah. Dr. Josh, it's always fantastic to have you on the show. Thank you so much. If you would like more information on Dr. Josh, if you want to Google him, then you can do that. But you can go directly to his website, which is www.joshclapo.com, or follow him on Twitter. Very, very easy, at Dr. Josh K. Thank you so much. We'll chat again next week.
Thank you, Sarah Jane. Talk to you next week.